Welcome to the Easy EdTech Podcast with your host, Dr. Monica Burns.
Hello there, and welcome to today's episode of the Easy EdTech Podcast. If we haven't met yet, my name is Monica Burns. I'm a former New York City public school teacher, and I've been out of the classroom for a few years now, leading professional development for educators and writing about all things EdTech on my blog, classtechtips.com. This fall, you'll hear a combo of educator interviews and quick solo episodes where I share some favorite tips and ideas, including a few from my new book, EdTech Essentials. A quick reminder, head to my website, classtechtips.com/podcast for all of the show notes and resources from today's episode. And if you're listening to this episode on a podcast player like Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or Google Podcasts, you should see a link in the description that you can click on as you listen today with the show notes and all the resources mentioned in this episode. This episode is sponsored by Levered Learning, a 21st century instructional system for elementary math, created by educators to provide just the right level of support and challenge for every student. Levered gives teachers the ability to create personalized learning paths using real-time data on student progress, tools to support intervention and enrichment. Levered's individualized online math curriculum is proven to increase learning growth by 70% on state testing in the first year of implementation. Learn more at levered.com. This week's podcast episode is titled, What Does a Regional Tech Coordinator Do? With Dr. Sarah Thomas. I'm very excited to have Sarah on the podcast today. We connected a long time ago on social media through Twitter first before other spaces, and we've spent some time together catching up at conferences, and she has such an amazing perspective on both education and her role as a regional tech coordinator, and on running an education business, which you'll hear about towards the second half of the episode. Let's go ahead and dive in to the conversation. All right. Well, welcome to the podcast. I am so excited to have Dr. Sarah Thomas on the podcast today to talk about a whole bunch of things. But I'm hoping that since today we're going to talk about your role in education kind of as our focus, that's usually the first kind of question I like to chat with people about. So before we get into your role, I'm hoping we can start a bit at the beginning of your career. How did you get started in education? What was your first role?
Yeah, thank you so much, Dr. Monica, for having me here. I'm super excited to be here on the podcast. Longtime listener, first time on the show. So I've been in education now. This is my 17th year, and I got in through alternative certification. So it's funny because when I was a little kid, then I always wanted to be a teacher. My mom was an educator in various roles over the years, but it wasn't until she actually started in a middle school classroom and I started coming down and working with her. This was maybe my freshman or sophomore year in college. I was already in for TV production, you know, already most of my credits done, but she started working in the classroom. And so I came to a French class and started working with these eighth graders. And I was just like, wow, this is really what I want to do. You know, like the TV stuff is great, but this is really, really calling me. So it just happened by chance one day after I re-enrolled in a master's program for intercultural communications, I came down the stairs. I saw that a nearby school district was recruiting teachers from different fields. And I was just like, wow, this is just like fate. So so I signed up, did the interview. They selected me. I took all of my supplemental classes, took the praxis, went to their summer institute and started in my classroom the following year. And it was definitely a learning curve and a journey, you know, but over these 17 years, I've picked up some skills, I would say. So I'm super just happy to be in this profession. There's nothing else I could think of myself doing.
Well, that's so interesting to think about those steps, because I feel like there's so many pathways to coming into education, right? And just hearing those different pieces, especially now when we're talking about, you know, a teacher shortage in so many places, kind of convincing people that might have a different type of career that this is a great kind of space to be in, right? Despite and acknowledging all of the challenges, right, that are a part of it. I'm always so interested to hear those different kinds of pathways. So appreciate that background as we talk about our topic for today, kind of our title for this episode. Can you tell us a little bit about your role now? What is your official, or I know there's sometimes a lot of unofficial things that go into, right, a job description, right? It might not be quite in the paragraph, but it's part of your work. So what is your role now? And what is that official or unofficial job description?
Yeah, totally. So I work with a large school district in Maryland. We have 209 schools in our district, and I'm a regional technology coordinator. So pretty much what that means is that I'm on a team with approximately 15 to 20, I've lost count, but phenomenal people that I work with. And between the lot of us, we just kind of divide up the district into different clusters. And I work with a particular cluster. My cluster has 20 schools in it. And pretty much what I do is I support the work of educators in all roles, as well as other stakeholders, such as obviously students and parents, and just help them in terms of the integration of technology to facilitate learning. And there's other things that come with the job as well, such as the business software that we help to troubleshoot and things like that. But really, my favorite part of the job is being able to work with folks and help them get the most bang for their buck when it comes to learning.
Yeah. And you know, you started saying 200 schools and then you said 20, and it seems like, oh, well, 20 is not as big, but 20 is still a lot, right? That's a lot, you know, compared to 200, it might not be as many, but the idea of having 20 or so, right, two dozen schools that you school sites that you work with, you know, is a lot. So within, you know, that cluster, I would imagine there's a lot of different kinds of needs. Is that something that you see in that regional tech coordinator role?
Yes, totally. It's wild because our district is so huge. We have urban, we have suburban, we have rural, we have schools of all different levels. So we have, in my cluster, I have a lot of early childhood centers. And, you know, we also have elementary schools. I have early childhood centers as well as elementary schools in my cluster. But in other clusters, there are middle schools and high schools and things of that nature. But there's a lot of factors that play in terms of what each school may need and what each student in each school needs, obviously, as well.
Yeah. And I would imagine that even within, right, that same region, just those differences can be pretty pronounced, right, depending on different factors. I taught in New York City schools where, you know, there's only a couple blocks over, there's a whole nother elementary school, right? And it can be a completely different world in just the terms of, you know, the school culture, right? What's happening in that school, what their priorities are, what their needs are. So yeah, I guess that idea of being, right, that regional tech coordinator might seem like there's a lot of similarities, but just like you mentioned, right, plenty of differences between these school sites.
Oh yeah, totally, totally. And we also have some emergent schools in my cluster as well. So I forgot to shout that out. So we have elementary, immersion, which are elementary as well, and early childhood centers. So we have those, a mix of those within my specific cluster.
Yeah. And so, you know, I know you've been in your role for some time now, right? So when we think about the past 2 years now, right, it's hard to say almost 2 years or 18 months or whatever the number might be at a particular time. There's just been so many changes, right? And even this school year, where I think many of us were hopeful that things would feel the way that they were a couple years ago, it's just another kind of different. And so I'm curious, when you're thinking about your role, which probably has maintained the same title and description, but all the other things have changed really greatly. So, you know, how has your role changed in the past 2 years or so when we think about all these different learning models?
Yeah, it's definitely transformed quite a bit, you know, because of the pandemic, and, you know, we're still in the pandemic,
yeah.
But just the different iterations throughout this whole process. So I remember when we went emergency remote back on March 13th of 2020, and we stayed that way for quite some time, about a year. And then after that, we started going into hybrid situations. And now this year, we are back face-to-face. They do have virtual schools for elementary and middle and high as well, but most students are back face-to-face. So, I mean, it's changed in so many ways. I would say that one thing that is a positive that I'm seeing in my district is that the capacity has just been raised tremendously, you know, because it was a situation where prior to the pandemic, then I know that we were doing a lot of, hey, this is, you know, this is great. Let's integrate technology, you know, like it's so awesome. We're telling you it's great. And then, you know, when we found ourselves in that situation where there was no other option, then people really stepped up to the plate and they did everything that they needed to do for their students in terms of building their own capacity and students as well. You know, we've had student sessions where we've helped students kind of troubleshoot their issues as they were adopting. And that was really interesting to see, because a lot of times you hear about, you know, how kids, they have technology all the time and they're going to, you know, catch on right away. And that's not always the case. So, I mean, that was definitely enlightening to see.
Yeah, I think that's something that, you know, I've noticed this year and a half or so, 2 years as well, is just some of the changing vocabulary, right? The capacity, like you said, to have conversations around thoughtful technology integration and just kind of a wider understanding, like, we do need some instruction on these foundational navigation skills, right? We can't just assume certain things about the way, you know, kids are using devices as learning tools. And so, you know, as we kind of think about just those challenges in different places, you know, I bet, you know, or I should say, I assume because we connected first before meeting face to face, right? Several times that we connected first on social media. And as you're kind of hearing from other people too, and kind of the different work that they're doing, I'm curious, and maybe it's from some of these social media connections, but do you know other people in other parts of the country, maybe even in international spaces, that have a similar role kind of to what you do? Maybe there's a different name for it in a different state, but are there other folks you've connected with that have a similar type of role?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And I really have to give a huge shout out to my PLN, because even before I was in this role, then I felt like the connections I was making were helping me prepare for this role. But I've seen, you know, a lot of very similar positions in different areas. They might not be exactly the same. So my position, I'm a 12-month teacher in a central office role. So it's kind of unique in my district. There's a few of us in this position, but it's not very common. But I would say the most similar to what I have seen from other districts are probably maybe TOSAs. So TOSAs, and I would say that the difference, I don't know like the ins and outs of what TOSAs do, but I know that we do have also some administrative things that we do. Like, for example, today as we're recording this, then we're working on report cards and working with schools to make sure that they're able to put in their data for the report card. So there's a lot of things that we do. Yeah.
Yeah. And that's that TOSA connection, or the teacher on special assignment connection, is really interesting, because I think the first time I even heard that term was talking to California educators, where I feel like TOSA is thrown around a lot, or that terminology. But then there are a lot of parallels to, I wouldn't necessarily use that term, but right, you could see that kind of teacher on special assignment piece, right? You might still have this sort of contract that's the same, yet your role or your day-to-day is very different than what it might have looked like when you were teaching fifth grade or teaching high school or having that traditional, you know, teacher piece. So yeah, I think that TOSA connection is really interesting. And, you know, if someone is listening in and is just like super interested in what your role looks like, and they're thinking like, I already kind of feel like I'm that person. Everyone comes to me with their questions all day long, or, you know, another school in the district sometimes has me go over there to show them how to use Flipgrid or like whatever it might be, right? They might be doing that kind of organically. If someone wants to be a tech coordinator in their region, what are some things they can do, you know, besides maybe looking up the openings, but like, are there some things that you did to kind of prep or prepare for your role, or even in hindsight was a good decision?
Yeah, totally. I would say that this position is best for lifelong learners, like people who just seek out the best ways to reach students. So definitely getting our own learning in. And that can be in the form of conferences, but there's also many other ways to do it, such as listening to podcasts like this one, doing Twitter chats, you know, Facebook groups, pretty much anywhere that folks are, then there's probably a teacher community there or an educator community. So getting connected, I'll put in a quick plug for EduMatch, which is a company that I founded. And, you know, we have like a very strong network of educators around the world just learning and growing together. But there's several, like there are so many professional learning opportunities, both synchronous and asynchronous, happening all the time. So I would say just getting connected and being up to speed on what is happening in our field, what's happening in the world, how do the two interplay, you know, that would probably be it.
I love that advice because I think going into a role where you're supporting other people in your profession who are learning something new, having that lifelong learner mindset is just crucial, right? Not only are you trying to gather all the newest information, which is a huge part of it, but even just walking into a situation ready to find out something new, curious about technology, really open to the fact that, you know, we don't know everything, that there's always going to be an opportunity to learn and explore. I think that's such a great set of qualities for someone who might be interested or interviewing or even just prepping for what might be next for them if they're looking kind of at that role. And, you know, I'm sure with just your title and your experience, and when you walk into buildings or maybe beam in virtually on Zoom with your colleagues in your district, I'm sure people come to you with lots of tech questions. And I'm curious, do you have, you know, some go-to favorite ed tech tips or favorite strategies or even tools that you find yourself sharing a lot with your colleagues?
Oh my goodness. I would say the thing that has probably really helped facilitate things over the past couple of years has been that now people are more familiar with screenshotting.
Yeah.
I know that that's like a little itty bitty thing, but screenshotting, you know, making videos to explain things or just to show us their side of whatever they're seeing and how we can help troubleshoot so much easier now that we can see what error message they're getting or, you know, what their interface is. So I know that that's like one tiny thing, but I mean, it has made such a huge difference.
No, I think I agree with you. Tiny, but mighty, you know, because I think the instructional videos, the screen recordings, all of that, I'm a big believer in that being a great way to help someone solve a problem. And even though I feel strongly about it, I still catch myself like two sentences into an email response to someone and just say, no, like I'm going to record a 30-second video instead of taking 10 minutes to write this email perfectly with all the steps, right? And it makes such a huge difference. So I think that's a great kind of recommendation, not only for the workflow of people asking you questions, right? And prepping them with, send me a screenshot with your question, but also how they can proactively maybe address questions that their students have too. So I love that that, you know, checks a couple different boxes. Now, Sarah, you are an author and run a publishing company. You mentioned EduMatch, and I'm going to make sure to put all the links for people to find in the show notes for today. But, you know, that's a different side of your work, right? It doesn't necessarily fall underneath the regional tech director piece. So tell us about your work as an author and your publishing company so people can kind of get a feel for that other passion that you have.
Yeah, definitely. So EduMatch kind of started out very grassroots. And I mean, it's still very grassroots. That was the flavor behind it, but just sparked from a conversation about mutual interest. A friend of mine had an interest in fantasy sports. And I said, you should meet my cousin who used to teach math. He gave me a book on fantasy sports. And you all should connect with this guy, Chris Aviles, who's now a great friend of mine, who is awesome at gamification. And you all should have a conversation. So from there, an idea kind of birthed itself in my mind. This was back in 2014. And I set up a Twitter account and, you know, asked if anyone wanted to get EduMatched, which convinced people it's not a dating site. So, you know, but it's just matching up with people with similar interests just to have conversations. And as people signed up, then they brought their great ideas. Eventually, I set up a website and a Google form that actually happened pretty quickly, probably day two.
Yeah.
And, and folks started signing up. I actually saw your name on there. So you were one of our early adopters. And from there, then we grew. People brought their ideas. So we went to a Voxer group. From the Voxer group, then multiple ideas came out, like, let's do Twitter chats, let's do podcasts, let's do ed camps.
Yeah.
And then let's write a book. And so from that, just kind of rolling with it. And folks have, at this point, we've released about 60 titles so far, I would say, with more on the way, with some amazing educators are sharing their stories. And through EduMatching, we've also branched out to a nonprofit arm that gives mini grants, as well as a PD branch that's newer, I would say, but we are a Google recognized partner for education. So it's just really kind of grown over the past 7 years, and I'm super happy about that.
Gosh, I mean, it's been so much fun to watch all of that. And, you know, as I'm sure you notice too, because you're of course so deep in that work, but I always get so excited when I see someone in our network who posts a picture of signing a contract or submitting a draft of something. So it's been so much fun to watch all of that the past few years, kind of, you know, that outsider realm, but then also, you know, being able to chat with you about those pieces as everything's kind of evolved in our conference run-ins and all of those kind of components. So wonderful. And I'm going to make sure to link out so anyone who's listening can tap and learn more about EduMatch. But where can people connect with you before we finish up today? Where can they learn a little bit more about your work?
Yeah, I would love to connect with anybody who's listening. I am at Sarah the Teacher on pretty much all of the socials. So you can find me there. I have a website. It's not very well maintained, but it's sarahjanethomas.com. And also EduMatch is edumatch.org. We have edumatchpublishing.com, edumatchfoundation.org, and edumatchlearning.com. So those are our websites right now.
Wonderful. Well, thank you so much for coming on today, for talking all about your role as a regional tech coordinator. So appreciate your time.
Thank you so much. And I appreciate you having me here.
I'm so glad that Sarah, Dr. Thomas, could join today. Let's finish up this episode like we always do with some tips for making this EdTech easy. First, think about how capacity for professional development has changed this year. Next, leverage the ways your colleagues use EdTech already. Then, get connected with larger communities, maybe on social media. And finally, dedicate time to becoming a lifelong learner yourself. Remember, you can find the show notes for this episode and every episode with all of the resources and tools mentioned today, plus how to connect with Dr. Thomas by heading to classtechtips.com/podcast and finding today's episode number 136. A big thank you to our sponsor, Levered Learning, for this episode. No matter what the school year tosses our way, Levered Systems Level approach to teaching and learning will be key to building back with an accelerated learning path for every student. If you'd like to learn more about how Levered can impact your teacher satisfaction and student impact, email info@levered.com and ask for the Digital Promise Brief. Did you like today's episode? Well, if you're listening to this podcast on Apple Podcasts or Spotify or another favorite app, don't forget to hit the follow button. When you follow along with the podcast, each new episode will download for you automatically so you don't miss a thing. And if you think a friend or colleague would enjoy the tips from today, send them a text with the link to today's episode. And if you share on social media, don't forget to tag me @ClassTechTips. I just might have something special for you. Have a great week and check back on Tuesday morning for next week's new episode.
Don't forget to subscribe to the Easy EdTech Podcast wherever you're listening.